Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown.
Honey Pot Performance is a Afrofeminist performance and public humanities organization.
About 20 years ago, a group of friends in Chicago wanted to make art together, and they wanted to use that art to address issues affecting Black women and Black communities, both here locally and also around the world. So they started an organization, Honey Pot Performance, which is three-pronged. Performance, obviously, interactive works and publications, and supporting other Black and BIPOC creatives. That voice you just heard was Maida McNeil, Honey Pot's artistic and managing director.
We decided to make stuff. We've created a book. We make evening-length dance theater or multidisciplinary performance work. We have this online social map, Chicago Black Social Culture Map, and we just, you know, have continued to do that.
The Chicago Black Social Culture Map. As a creative Black woman navigating social life in Chicago on my bike, on the L, on foot, sometimes by car, that most definitely piqued my interest. At first glance, it's giving Google Map of Chicago. But if you zoom in, you'll see that it's dotted with markers for Black social and cultural spaces all over the city. And it's interactive. You can add your own dots to the map. Maida says one thing that's important here is that it showcases BIPOC communities that have been chronically underdocumented, and it creates an opportunity for them to see their histories represented. Me and Maida, we're going to talk more about that. But first, she explains how one of my favorite genres, house music, ended up being the centerpiece of the project and how it developed from there.
We all grew up with house music as really formative to our upbringing. And had many conversations about how, like, even as we grew older, like, that foundation really influenced our values, the way we engaged other people, built community, made work, did our work outside of, like, creative space. And so we had these 6 months of, like, mapping parties, and that we would put up big maps around the room, also have, like, a dance floor, and our collaborator, Jody Presser, would play a curated mix of, like, house and a different genre, blues, house, and jazz. And that produced like over 350 social spaces. That was really about, oh, like, we can actually see these and feel these connections to previous, you know, decades of Black cultural production from Great Migration, right? From that South to North movement. And it felt like, well, what do we do with that information? Like, we made a work, but that information is still there. And so we began to think about a public space, an online map that could, you know, hold those spaces, stories about those spaces, and then could keep growing.
Tell me about, I know an important component of this is uncovering some of the stories and history that have been buried, that have been missed. People who have things in their homes and or in their brains and don't realize that it's of such value in the history of Chicago Black culture. Talk about starting to uncover some of those stories and how you did that.
So, you know, I think, like, I am grateful, and I think it's wonderful that the history of Chicago house music is now beginning to be told, and it's into the public discourse. Yes. In a really impactful way, which is amazing. And like, just even 5-10 years ago, we didn't have that, right? Mm. But I think there's a danger of, like, yes, warehouse is important and critical. Yes, Music Box is important and critical. Yes, Frankie Knuckles, Ron Hardy, yes. But also, like, what are those other strands, right? And we can't forget that it was like queer Black folks, primarily some brown folks too, who helped start this culture. And like, we need to find those legs that before there was house music, like these other threads, disco, funk, soul, that were creating a party scene, right? and all these other things that before, you know, before it influenced those things like taverns and small mom and pop little, you know, bars and things where there were Black social clubs. Those are like blueprints for what becomes the model for house music and house music gatherings. There are all of these like complex layers and dimensions that are just amazing, and that we need to uncover all of that and thread those links together, right? Yeah. To tell a really robust and complex story.
Right? Yeah. And you know, you just dropped a lot of what makes Black social culture in Chicago so rich. There's a lot of media happening. There's a lot going on. Can you just kind of explain how Honey Pot decided to focus on dance music and house and put that at the center?
Mm. Yeah, like I think it goes back to what I said at the beginning, that like we all grew up with it and it was so important, continues to be important to us, whether or not we are, because I'm not really out on the social scene anymore, because my schedule doesn't really permit it, but I still love the culture. And yes. I'm so happy and I want to support like that there are folks who are still, and like folks are now in their 40s, 50s and up who are still like, we are out here. We are not giving up social pleasure and leisure. And like, that is important. That's an important part of our holistic, you know, experience as humans, right? And yes, want to support that, because I think that that's also like mental health, it's community building, right? It's all those things. It is kind of collect, it is like, you know, supporting like Black entrepreneurship, you know, it yeah. is all those things. And so, you know, we want to uplift it in that light, right? Of how important it is. Cause I can remember going to back when I was like back in the day, I used to be in academia proper. And, bringing up kind of house music and dance music as important sites of Black cultural production and being folks being like, oh, that's just that four to the floor, whatever. Like what's our artistic or creative?
I'm like, excuse you?
About that. And I was like, what? You know, so like, I think we're in a moment where we're starting to see all of that complexity and we want to be part of that movement. So.
There's also an element of aesthetic and style that permeates here. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a story that's told, a way of thinking about house music in Chicago, like its evolution as kind of like these high school generations. So like every 4 years, the culture changes a bit.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I think like you can look at its history and kind of see, like when I was in high school in the 80s and early 90s.
Yes, tell me about it.
That we were, you know, seeing kind of like fashion trends around if you were house or hip hop, and you could see that in like their fashion, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, your hip hop folks might be with backpacks and baggy jeans and, you know, that kind of thing, and or baseball caps. And that, and then your house people are like Jerboa jeans, multiples, like the Gumby kind of haircut.
Yes. Asymmetrical fade.
Yes, right. So all of that, you know, was identifying folks as, you know, in these kind of distinct, I don't know, sub-circles, sub-communities, yeah. right? Youth culture, right? Through dress, right?
And so how would you say that evolved maybe 4 or 8 years later? Like, you know, how have you seen, you know, that kind of every 4 year iteration changing?
That is a good question. I'm not sure now. You know, I think mid to late 90s, whatever, where like house, not that it dies or goes away completely, but hip hop definitely comes to the fore, right? Mm. And that kind of goes underground in a way, right? House. And but I would say what I see now that I really love is this kind of global diasporic dimension. Like I feel like there's this synergy between kind of Chicago house and kind of Afro beats and, you know, a bit of the culture and how people are dressing,
yes.
Colors and patterns and caftans and, you know, stuff like that. So that's something we might explore in a program.
Hey, I mean, I'm here for it. Yes, I love thinking about fashion and how that interacts with music culture. It is really interesting, and you know, which is why I asked about aesthetic and style. I mean, it's an expression that's really can be telling and really fun. You're working right now on an update to the map, mm-hmm. And you've described this whole kind of project and all of this programming as being iterative. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about working on something over the course of a few years that still continues to evolve? Like, tell me about what that feels like.
Yeah. Oh, I love your questions. So like we're process based, like as artists, as creatives, like I think we think about things taking time to develop. When we did the original project, the simple exercise of doing the mapping together would bring up these incredible conversations of folks being like, oh, that place wasn't there, it was here, or no, nah, this place, like place, you could see, you know, places stacked on top of each other, and people like, well, this is when this place came, and then this place, and you know,
yeah.
So it opened up a dialogue and debate, you know, so between like history and memory, right? Yes. And so we wanted to explore that further around specific topics, right? Yes. And so so we started doing the map and kind of live programs. And then that also enabled us to, we really wanted to commit to this connection between house music proper and then, you know, like we talked about earlier, jazz, blues, gospel, like where did these other genres influence and where might we draw connections between them, right, mm-hmm. in the contemporary moment. So that led to us having programs around blues or cultural production on the West Side. And that might be a mix of kind of blues and mom and pop, like record shops like Georgia's Music Room, or a place like The Factory, which is on Madison Avenue, seeing those, being able to see those, again, more complex threads through these iterations of like programming and thinking about new ways to get to content and stories from folks.
Yeah, let's, we, you know, if this is your first time hearing of this, you've maybe missed a lot of this programming that has happened up until now, but thankfully there is more coming. Let's get into the 2023 programming. So there's roller rinks, there's radio stations in the programming. These two things I kind of want to talk about specifically because these are things that have that colored my childhood in the 90s, right? Like I grew up listening to the radio in Detroit and going roller skating. And the roller skating piece in between then and now has seemingly kind of gone dormant a little bit. But now, you know, Usher is out here having these roller skating parties. You know, you got the IG TikTok cuties, you know, roller skating on the beach. But then for radio, on the other hand, that's not making the same type of comeback, right? It's not following that similar trajectory. And I wonder, as you're thinking about your programming and the map itself, how are you thinking about the pieces of Black social culture that still feel very present versus those that feel like they're starting to become history?
Yeah, that's, again, great question. I think that we are definitely thinking more about how do we integrate younger folks and their interests and the things that have formatively influenced them and it will eventually become like their contemporary history. Like, how do we bring those into the mix? So we have started to try to draw in younger members into the maps. Okay. And I teach a class at sometimes at University of Chicago. They invited me to take the map and to break it down as a class. And
I love that.
You know, and one of the things that we looked at in the class was roller rinks as a component. Like, roller rinks were incredibly important to both the development of hip hop and house, right? That those were places where tracks might be broken on the dance floor, where there were opportunities for like small performances in these venues. I myself grew up going to like Rainbow Rink in Uptown, and that certainly was a place that there were like house music parties as part of the, you know, ongoing programs they had there. But I think that there is this positive angle to it, and that we are really seeing this new interest in it again by young folks, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It's always nice to hear some reflection on the project in general. And I wonder if you can talk about that in terms of learnings. What are some of the big things that you feel like you've gleaned from all of this as far as lessons?
I think on the production of the map end, like we're learning a lot about like how do we make a usable map. We want it to be accessible to scholars, but we also just want like people who have lived the culture, who respect it, to be able to add like their stories. And so we have been working a lot on like how do we kind of adjust and retool the site so people can find their way around easier, so they can, there's an easier way to kind of add stories and new knowledge into the map. It circles back to that we're all scholars, educators, therapists, nerds, like we, you know, we believe in knowledge, and like, you know, this is important cultural knowledge that has to be preserved. And like the map is an incredible way to get to do that, and to like, you know, dig into those, like the research and the scholarly critical thinking aspects of our brains.
Yeah. Maida McNeil is the artistic and managing director of Honeypot Performance. Maida, thank you for your work on this beautiful project, the Chicago Black Social Culture Map, and thank you for telling me all about it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. The map thanks you as well. And so does Honeypot.
Honeypot Performance is co-hosting a skate jam with HP Skate tomorrow, May 20th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Garfield Park Gold Dome. You can rent skates, you can bring your own skates. So if you're into roller rinks, skate culture, and house music, you got plans tomorrow. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown, and to Ariel Van Cleve for editing the show. Dave Miska was the engineer for this episode, and our theme music is by Louis Weeks. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you on Monday morning.